views are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
To Defy and Hustle Radio. This is Noreen Ehrlich, and I want to welcome you tonight. That was, of course, Billy Joel, and I just love Billy Joel because I am a Long Island girl, ultimately, and a 70s girl. So Billy Joel was somebody who just burst onto the scene and had hit after hit, and each hit showed some level of evolution in his life. But I did do a little research about this song, River of Dreams. Billy Joel considered himself an atheist, actually, but he said he got a lot of inspiration for his songs. Actually, he told Howard Stern this in 2010 on Howard Stern's show, that he gets a lot of inspiration for his songs while he's sleeping, while he's dreaming, and he wakes up in a certain mood. And he said, gosh, I woke up. I'm not really that religious, but I got this idea for a song that talked about had gospel theme and talked about the river. And I guess the river really was a reflection of A, getting from one side to the other, and also the people being baptized in the river. But anyway, to be very honest with you folks, I didn't even overthink it. I sometimes grab these songs about 45 minutes before the show starts. But anyway, I love that song a lot. And I welcome you here tonight. I don't have a guest here, but I do have, of course, my favorite engineer and station manager, Bob Small, with me. So welcome, Bob.
I'll do the best I can.
You do the best you can? You always do the best you can.
Well, it's true. This is true.
Okay. And so what I thought I'd do tonight, folks, is really try and connect with you. I think what I've done, I've had my show on since Memorial Day of 2018, and I've done a real variety of shows. So really, probably by this time, 60 shows, and let's see if that shows tonight as I go to do it by myself. But this is the first show where I don't have a co-host and a plan, or I don't have a guest. And maybe that's perfect, because I wanted to better introduce myself. So I am an executive and career coach. I'm a business coach. I know I've mentioned, and if you've heard my commercials, I come out of a background where my father gave me three choices: doctor, lawyer, or accountant. Most of my, he was a doctor. He was the chief of anesthesia in the town I grew up in, West Islip on Long Island. And my brothers and sisters, for the most part, are doctors. I was a numbers person, and I went into accounting. Not because I couldn't choose anything, but I had to choose something, because in my life, I love everything. And I really have a hard time choosing and sticking with something sometimes. Up to now, now I'm in my 50s, now I'll stick with things. But I did go into accounting, and as fate would have it, accounting took me from Long Island. I never thought I'd leave Long Island, but it did take me to Manhattan, where I got a job with Ernst & Young in the auditing department, and then life took me to the consulting department there, and I did well. I don't know how I did well. I think it's because I'm very open-minded, and so I really learned a lot about investment funds and international and national and international thinking and investments and how things get done. And then when I hit my 40s, I was married to actually to a colleague and a lovely man, but I stopped because there was a certain point in the career. I want to say I was the chief financial officer at a few different places, and I was sought after, and I did very well financially. But I want to say there was a certain point where it became uncomfortable. I think you had to sell your soul a little bit. And I was exhausted. I worked a zillion hours. I traveled the world. I used to work in Tokyo. I used to go back and forth. I didn't live there. I just had a lot of people working for me. When you're in an investment fund, there's nothing that doesn't go past the CFO. And it is a little bit like, I don't want to compare it to a doctor or diminish it, but on the other hand, it was like an emergency room and I could not afford to get anything wrong. So it was a very demanding career, but it was also a career that was getting a little shady. And I'm not a shady lady. So I actually stepped away, I think, because I needed rest, but as fate would have it again, life, I guess, well, I lost my identity a bit. When I left my career, I suddenly found myself not having all my brethren around me that respected me and were in my industry. And I started to wake up to maybe a more philosophical side of life. So in my 40s, I spent a lot more time searching, I guess soul searching. And as it took me to India. My husband, the man that would become my husband, is Indian. And it took me to Atlanta. It took me to India. I lived in Bangalore. I lived in Mumbai. And now in my 50s in Greenwich, it took me a second to figure out how to integrate this really very dry financial background with this philosophical understanding of life, which I learned, let me tell you folks, which I learned through a lot of pain and a lot of being alone in Tokyo by myself as a woman. And a really, Tokyo is like another planet. It's not a bad place, but it's another planet. So is India. I also used to go to Dubai and give speeches there and do business there. And so I was always out of my element and often by myself. So I think a lot of when you're by yourself a lot and it's quiet, and maybe you're even a little bit of suffering or pain, and you start to do a little bit more soul searching. But anyway, now that I'm in my 50s, I came up with a business called Defy and Hustle Business Solutions, and it's meant for executives and it's meant for business people. So there's an element of life coaching and there's an element of business coaching that I have at the top of Greenwich Avenue, but I also work with people around the globe using Zoom. Anyway, so that's enough. Is that enough about me, Bob? I mean, I really find it to be an honor to work with a lot of people and help them as a coach who actually has very hands-on practical skills with numbers and law and seeing things a lot of different ways. It really feels like an honor to help them get through struggles that they may be going through in their careers, in their businesses, or in their personal lives.
Is it accurate to say that you picked up this knowledge in combination with where you had previously worked and then during that period when you were not working? I get the feeling you say you did a lot of growing at that time.
Which time?
When you were not working.
When I was definitely
when
my 40s.
When you went
40s.
To India.
And even when I was in India, I did work, and that's why I was in Dubai, because I did take a job there.
I see.
In Dubai, it's funny, I don't know if it's still true, but they often don't disrespect, they often don't respect the Indian community as much, but they will respond to an American person. So that's why, amongst other reasons, the Indian company hired me is to help them grow.
How about being a woman in those situations?
I'm going to say to be a woman in those situations, whether it was Tokyo or in India. Tokyo was tricky. Tokyo, they look at your business card. And because my business card said chief financial officer, they respected me more. But it took them a second.
I see.
it's always hard to be, I'm going to say it's always a little bit hard. I don't know, always, but it's often hard to be a woman. But I'm very fortunate, and I feel very blessed that I had all these opportunities. Who knew just going for an accounting degree that I would ever go in, around the world? And I will say some of the studies I did, and I still do very much often for that matter, was because I was struggling with relationships with my, whether it was with my husband or with business, or just trying to understand my place. Once I left the New York area, I was sort of outside of my niche. And so I really learned a lot. But today I really wanted to talk to the people in the Greenwich and local audience, not so much about me, but to talk to them about weariness. There's so, I do believe, because of what has been happening, especially in the last 2 years, maybe I don't want to blame the Trump administration, but I do believe that there's so many sort of creepy things happening that aren't normal, even though they become a little normalized. And folks, let me name a few just because I looked a little bit in the paper today. You keep hearing about fake news. It's become like a confusing for us to understand where the truth lies anymore. You hear about fake news. You hear about climate change. You hear about the deep state and dark money and impeachment now. Of course, the impeachment is in there. Corporate tricks, privacy issues where people are listening. It's a really awkward time to be alive, and it's what I call the chaos before the calm, because I think it's really forcing us to see some of the darkness that's playing under the scene behind the scenes that we hadn't seen for probably decades. I'm sure it was going on for decades, but now the administrations that's in there now, and other, not just the political administration, but all the institutions, are starting to show that they're not necessarily there to help the people, but they are maybe there to help themselves. I personally believe it's totally dysfunctional. It's totally dysfunctional. And I do think it's taken a certain toll on us, mm-hmm. whether we meant to or not, because the news is just inundated with crazy stories, really crazy stories. People going to jail, you know, like a Felicity Huffman going to jail for getting her daughter into school and lying. And that's just one example. But anyway, weariness. So what ends up happening with most people? You have a question, Bob? He's trying to be good and ask questions.
Well, when I hear you talk about this, I think to myself that we know more now than we ever did before. There
exactly.
was a time when we were happily oblivious to what was happening in the world.
And we were just trying to get by.
That is less and less acceptable, and we all realize this. And so that's one thing that struck my mind
as
you spoke.
It is. I think it's perfect. I think had we put Hillary Clinton into office, it would really prolonged – it really would have prolonged us finding out just some of the stuff that might be going on behind the scenes. So I agree with you. I'm not trying to take a party stance, Republican or Democrat. Mm. I'm really just – I agree with you. Mm. What it's done is really a positive thing. It is helping us to, A, pay attention to the people we give our power to, and see – are these people really watching out for our interests, whether those are politicians and pharmaceuticals? And why do we give so much power to them when we really can handle so much of it ourselves? And so I absolutely agree with you. I think it's a time where we really need to reevaluate what our values are and what
– I think that's what's been happening, is a huge amount of reevaluation.
Good.
And we look at some of our systems, our judicial system, and we question how responsive it is to us. Is it really doing the job? Are we doing what we should do? Like, Should Felicity Huffman be going to jail? This sounds like the wrong person is being persecuted here. Not that she didn't do something wrong, but it looks like our judicial system tends to go after the weaker person or the person that has the more money. And that's all it's doing. It's not looking for the truth. As a matter of fact, if you say that to a lawyer, they say, that's not what it's about. It's about justice. And what is justice? I should think truth is more important.
I want to say I don't – there's to me, there's a different truth, which is a truth that it is not external, even though it gets reflected to us through other people and situations we're watching out for. But what I wanted to impart on the audience, if they can hear this, I don't know, not this won't resonate with everybody out there, is at the end of the day, the weariness can really only be improved or healed or improved, whatever language you want to use, by realizing it's not something that's happening. It's something that's happening externally, yes. But you can not take it on so much. I do think you need to be aware of what's going on. I do think that we will need to step out at some points, some of us at least, and really stand for what's important to us, especially if Trump gets impeached. But what I want the audience to realize is that one by one, you are responsible for what is going to happen in your life. Starting now, we're in September 2019, but I would think time is going so fast. So even if you were to look at your life, starting now, and say, what do I want for myself starting now in 2019? And I would take it right to the end of 2020. Instead of getting anxiety or feeling stuck or feeling dismayed, depressed, it really all starts within you, and you have the full ability to say, what would I do? What would I do if nothing were stopping me? What would I do if nothing were stopping me? What would my life look like by the end of 2020? And so you look a little confused, Bob. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't. How do you mean nothing were stopping me? I mean,
well,
I live my life that way, in my opinion.
I think.
Except I also know that there's a certain way I want to live, and a lot of it has to do with keeping me from doing things that I don't feel would be acceptable.
Okay.
But that's okay. I look at what I pay for that.
And, so you've
and
come
I say,
to
okay, yeah, that's acceptable.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
So you've come to some terms in. But is there something that you're maybe?
Well, I struggle with feeling responsible for the condition our country is in, and yet not wanting that to destroy my quality of life.
Right.
Which is kind of what I hear you talking about.
Exactly. So.
And how do I feel responsible and feel like I'm trying to do something to improve it, the situation, while not letting it take over my life?
The
the judicial thing that I brought up.
Well, I guess what I want to say is, if you are happy, or you know something, you can't even be happy all the time, but if you are content, if you are more or less at peace with your decisions and where your life is going, maybe even better than that, if you are enthused about where your life is going in 2019 and 2020, then...
I don't think I've ever been enthused about my life.
You've never been enthused about your life?
Yeah, yeah. Content, maybe. But enthused, seldom.
Okay. Well, you know something?
Maybe it shouldn't happen very often anyway. I don't know.
I want you to be enthused.
Maybe. Yeah, but should one expect to be or want to even be enthused constantly? No, I don't think that makes any sense. But maybe yearly? I don't know.
You should have, I talk about in my business that there's five pillars of life, and let's make sure you've got your career.
Okay.
You've got relationships, and maybe for those of you who want it's all relationships. Like you, Bob, you and I are not in a physical relationship, but we have a relationship to each other.
Yeah.
But then there's more intimate relationships. So career, relationships, how we spend our time and money, because those are our resources. If I would add to that the energy we get each morning. So those are the resources we have each day. So that's another pillar. Your health and fitness and really taking care of the body that you have to go by and walk around in. So you really have to take care of that. So that's another pillar.
And as you get older, the more you learn that that's the case.
That is the case,
yeah,
right?
Because you think to yourself, I don't want my slightly dying body to be the reason why I end up dying completely.
Yeah, you can't have dreams.
Let me see if I can keep that body going a little bit more comfortably for me.
Yeah. It is true. Those of us who are, even now, I'll be 54 in January, and I've always been very fit. I used to run marathons, things like that. I've always worked out. But even still, I mean, there's things happening that you just have, you do consider, oh, wait a minute, I really have to take care of my body now.
Yeah.
So career, so relationships, so time and money, health and fitness, and then personal development. And I call those the five pillars of life, because life does want you to expand and grow and develop your character, if you will. It wants you to develop and look to the other things you wanted around those five pillars. So, but what happens is people come into my office and
wouldn't a pillar be growth?
It is. To me, personal development is growth.
Oh, I didn't hear the personal development. Okay.
Yeah, so personal development is growth.
Right.
And so I go to people, well, so what would you love? Because I do think that people, I'm oversimplifying this, but people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond are used to enduring situations. We were sort of brought up in an era of survival and go get the job and work for the boss and don't talk too much and don't say too much and just sort of endure and make sure you got your money and took care of your family and put some away for retirement. I do think
realistically could be all one can expect.
It's
sometimes because
and it's shifting.
Beyond that can be very difficult to do.
It's as far as I'm concerned, I call it the shift, and I do think others call it the shift, but that we're going out of a stage where we have so much, consciously or not, fear within us that we're making decisions around fear,
mm-hmm.
so that we are limiting what we truly are capable of. And I do think younger people see it differently, and maybe that's why they're not so inclined to buy big houses and commit to big mortgages, that they are inclined to experience, because they realize we're on the planet and here we go, and let's just make sure we're having positive experiences instead of burdening
yeah,
ourselves.
Don't lock me into a mortgage for 30 years. I want to be able to change my mind in 2 years and do something completely different.
Right. They're going with their intuitive instead of logical. We're coming out of a stage of very logical thinking, and it was necessary. We're coming out of an industrial age, if you will. And now I do think younger people have an understanding that life can have more fluidity to it, and resources will show up as needed, when it's needed. So you don't have to like hover down and put all your money away. I'm not saying you don't put your money away to some extent, but to do it with the intention of taking it out at 65. And I don't think that's an appealing life plan to a lot of younger people. So I do think that they come into it with an understanding that things can be simpler and to go a little bit more with the flow.
And also live now. There may not be a later.
There may not be a later. Of course not. And that the right resources will show up at the right time.
Yeah.
It's a certain different, it's what I call the conviction paradigm. So I do see us moving out of, we're in a chaotic stage right now. It's great. We're going through a very chaotic stage. I call it the shift, but it's the chaotic stage because something's happening. It's a renaissance of sorts that is taking us out of that a fearful stage where our parents, maybe even if they were well-meaning, told us, only be a doctor, lawyer, or accountant. And those were the, and it was a way of protecting us and making sure we would thrive. And we were giving our power away to leaders or institutions, whether they may be educational or pharmaceutical or religious or political. We were being guided by them. But now I think people are starting to see that they can lead themselves. They don't really need a lot of other people to lead them. And they're also saying, I have these different aspects of myself that I am proud of, that I don't need to keep hidden behind a facade of everything's fine, I'm just going along, everything's fine. So, actually, it's...
Everything's going along very well. As a matter of fact, we could take a break.
We can take a break. That was a big opening. When I come back, I want to talk to you about steps you can take to start to create shifts in your life. And they're so straightforward. There's only three steps, but they're so straightforward. That said, easier said than done, but they're so straightforward. And I want you to start to realize that the life force, whatever you're going to call it, has your back. And now how are you going to think about life? So we're going to go to commercial. This is Noreen Ehrlich. This is Defy and Hustle Radio. And we'll come right back in a moment. So stick with us.
Well, if you're traveling the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike now from Greenwich right on up to Norwalk, it's a 31-minute ride. A little heavier on the northbound Merritt, 37 minutes on the Merritt Parkway northbound from Greenwich up to Norwalk. Use your power to cure IBS. Join the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation at Spin for Crohn's and Colitis Cures. Get started at spinfor.org. I'm Jay Trelace in the 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Clear skies with some patchy fog developing tonight, the low near 55. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer, high near 80. Partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s tomorrow night. Friday, mostly sunny, 70 to 75. Sunshine to more clouds Saturday, highs in the upper 70s. Looking for a home to rent or buy? Candlewood Realty is offering free services to help you find that dream home. Call 860-799-5300. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you a business owner who's suffering from what I call the entrepreneur's dilemma? That means you have a successful business, but you're so caught up in operations that you are overwhelmed, maybe you're capital constrained, or you just know that you can scale your business to another level, but you need help doing that. This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and CPA in Wall Street's fast-paced real estate private equity industry, where I helped start up and turn around hundreds of underperforming businesses. Based on this know-how, I created a 100-day plan that I tailor to your business to make sure that you streamline operations, drive performance, and generate profits fast. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or by calling me at 475-333-2173. Hi, everybody. It's Noreen Ehrlich. Welcome back to Defy and Hustle Radio today. Again, I'm an executive coach and a business coach, and I am talking to you today. I hope that you get something out of this that maybe shifts something in you so that you see something, so that you see your potential to do something different in your life or improve something in your life. It doesn't have to be radical, but I'm going to tell you some of how I perceive what's going on in the world. And I really think I'm surprised people don't I don't know how people get by without somebody in their corner, somebody objective. You can have your husband and wife, but they're not as objective. I do think it's wonderful for business owners who can often feel isolated. And also just for anybody to have somebody objective that's offering them a different perspective on the situations that are going on in their life. So I wanted to talk to you about your story. Your story. Folks, we humans love our story. We love our story, and we love our story about how not all of us, and we are in a fantastic, incredible, capable town of Greenwich, but we love our story about how we are put upon or victimized. We may have great things that are going on, but usually around one of those five pillars, or our spouse isn't treating us well, or the money's just not coming in for us, or my health's going wrong. And instead of feeling like we have the power to do something about it, we often endure it, and we settle for it, and we get into a place where it just becomes our life, but we don't realize we can do, basically, folks, you can have anything you want. You just have to make a decision. I had one client come to me, a lovely, beautiful woman, and she acknowledged she's drinking a lot and going out to the bars, but she came to see me and she told me her story, because when I talk with you, I want to find out why you're there to speak with me. She told me her story. Her husband doesn't think she's smart. Now she's feeling locked up at home. And her husband is apparently a very successful businessman. He travels a little bit. And she is a beautiful, intelligent woman, and she's got children. And she told me her husband doesn't think she's smart. So I said, well, give me an example of why he thinks you're not smart, or how he shows you he's not smart. So she told me about, he was away and she was having trouble with the modem at home, and the wireless wasn't working, and they needed the wireless, of course, so the kids could do homework and things like that. So she calls her husband up and he's in a meeting, but he explains to her how to check the modems around the house, and she's getting so frustrated by him because he told her to go down to the basement, turn the modem on and off, call Verizon, but she was furious because she was sure that he thought she was stupid because it wasn't working. But as I listened to the story, it wasn't what she wanted to hear, because we don't like when people break our stories, but I said, well, I didn't hear anything in the story that implied that he thinks you're stupid. Is it possible that you think you're stupid? Because what we do is we have a tendency to project. It's very human. It's something that we have to start to break the habit of. But when you find yourself projecting onto other people that they're doing something and you're the victim of it, you have to really watch, because you are typically the one that thinks something. So in this case, this woman had left her, she went to Columbia. She's a very brilliant woman, but she gave up her career to take care of her children. And she wanted to go out there and start a business, and she had great ideas, and she wanted to go visit her family overseas. But she was blocked by this limiting belief that she, in my opinion, was projecting onto her husband, and it was taking a toll on her marriage, that he thought she was stupid. And it kept her in place, sort of paralyzed. I want you to know that when you rewrite your story, I want you to write your story as if nothing was blocking you. Nothing. What would you love? What if everything around those five pillars, it was just going fantastic by the end of 2020 or sooner? What would you, I'll just give you some wine. I would love the radio show to keep growing. I would like it to even get more inspiring guests. I have great guests. I feel very blessed about that. My business, I think, is something that I would really love to take off and go out and speak, and I'm starting to offer workshops. Folks, I'm making this up. And basically, that's what you have to do, is start to tell a new story and then start to take baby steps in the direction of the new outcome that you want. It is scary at first, and that's why somebody like me is there. Because you don't believe it yourself, and you need somebody who doesn't believe your first story in the first place. It is untrue. Of course you're not stupid. You need somebody to stick with you and maybe give you, and I also have very practical ideas. I'll help you in a very practical way. But I want you to say, this is where I am today. But if I would just move in the direction, let's say it's your health and you want to get fit, what is one thing you can do? It'll come right to your head. You know what to do. You're just settling. You're just enduring. You're not taking the steps. It's like, what are you waiting for? What's stopping you? But it is the second thought. I want this, but I don't have the money. I want this, but I have to raise the kids. You know something? Life, the life force has your back. This may take a second for many of us to understand. And again, I do think younger people understand this. But once we start to understand as a culture, as a humanity, that the life force has your back and is not trying to take you down, then you start to relax into life. Trust that the resources that you need will start to show up at the time you need them and not sooner. And often at the beginning, just like when you went to college, often at the beginning when you were making a change, you have to pay to play. That means you have to put your money out there. You have to invest your time into something. Just like when you went to college, you didn't get a job right off the bat paying you $150,000. You had to go to college and you had to pay for it and you had to study. So there may be things as you step in a new direction.
But also, as you're saying, you had to believe that going to college was going to take you to the step of getting that job.
I love that you said that, because there has to be a trust. It's a new, I call it the conviction paradigm. So we're moving out of the survival paradigm. We're going through the shift right now, and that's why it's a little crazy, and that's why it's asking us, what do you value individually? Because it has to happen individually first before it can happen collectively. So what do you value? And then can you make a decision? Step one to expansion and growth, folks, it's three steps. Can you visualize a new, it doesn't have to be a radically new life, but can you visualize something different? If you can visualize it, you can get something to happen. And then you have to make a decision. Make a decision. Step one, make a decision. I will have this. I set the intention to have this. I expect that unless I quit or change my mind, which you can do, unless I quit, inevitably it must happen. Inevitably it must happen. And I want you to write a new script for yourself, which I help you with, and commit to it. When you commit to something, we get so scared of commitment. We're coming out of, as far as I'm concerned, a very juvenile stage where we're like, I don't want to commit to anything, and I want it very fast. But when you commit to something, you understand that you're in it for the long game, and that what is going to happen is not always going to be roses and unicorns and balloons and things. Life is, once you commit to an outcome, I'll even take my own career, because I found a vision I wrote in 2017 when I could barely hold a microphone without trembling. I had said I wanted to help people to feel calm and understand their place when things were chaotic. I wanted to have a business at the top of Greenwich Avenue, no less, which is exactly where I am. And I wanted to speak and have a radio show and go on from there. I didn't always believe it at the time, far from it. And I started to do things. I was confused. I started to do things to move in that direction. Would you believe the radio show just sort of, I forgot I even wrote it down, Bob. The radio show just showed up. James Forte, whose father owns the station, and maybe he owns the station as well, just showed up in front of me one day, and I said, I need a radio show. Anyway, it showed up. You don't have to know how it's going to show up. You just have to start to commit to the outcome. Because the things that start to happen to you along the way as you travel down the path mm-hmm. are going to strengthen you in the areas that you need to be strengthened so that you have mastery over the outcome. So by that I mean, for example, well, let me just say, if you were climbing Mount Everest, you would have to see the big picture. You see the top of the mountain. You have to understand that it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to get to the top of the mountain right away. And you're going to take baby steps up the first portion of the mountain. You're going to prepare for that. And then you're going to take steps up the mountain. And at times you are going to be freaking exhausted, but you are going to strengthen along the way. Now, if you are going down a path towards an outcome, and I'll use myself, life is going to start to strengthen you so that you know how to speak confidently, and it's not going to happen overnight. And there are going to be times that it's going to scare you and you're going to want to quit. But the only way it's not going to happen is is if you quit. So does that make sense, Bob?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Bob sold.
Yeah.
So you were going to what I call aspire. Step one, you're trying to go in a new direction. You were going to aspire. Then you are going to mobilize. I call it mobilize, but I'm going to say you are going to start paying attention because, first of all, once you make a decision to go in a new direction, certain things in life, certain people, certain situations, be it jobs or friends or things like that, are just going to need to fall away because you only have so much time and money each day. And it's going to be a little scary because people are going to start to disappear. Maybe you have to quit your job. Maybe you have to leave a relationship you're in or move to a new place. So this can be really, I call it the wobble. You shake around and you get really scared of going in this new direction. You're going to pay attention because new people and new situations are going to show up and you are going to have to trust your gut. Something that we here, especially in the northeastern United States, don't always, we aren't very good at trusting our guts anymore because we're so logical. We spend so much time thinking and torturing ourselves. You're going to trust your gut to know which action you should take. Somebody you meet, maybe it's that turn that you go, you know something, let me just stop here and go for coffee here for a change. And you run into somebody. So you are going to pay attention. You're going to start paying attention to what happens externally in your life. But then you're also going to start to pay attention to all the fears that start to dredge up in front of you, inside of you, I should say. So, like for me, really, I'm admitting to you today, this is my 60th or something show, and this is the first time I'm really talking to you about the kind of work I do, because there is a fear I have of who am I to step out in an amazing, accomplished, brilliant town like Greenwich and inspire you to maybe look at life from a different perspective. Look at what success means from a different perspective, because ultimately, success means to me peacefulness. If you can wake up each day and just be in a flow and be calm, you can be starting businesses, you could be having families, you could be in love, but you want to be centered and calm. So you make a decision and you commit to it. Step one. Step two, pay attention. Pay attention to the external situations that are coming to you, but pay attention to the fears You'll feel it in your body, that arise. We humans have universal fears, and I'll name a few of them. We are afraid at our very core, whether we're conscious or not, to be abandoned because we are animals at the end of the day and we like to travel in packs. We are afraid to be rejected. We are afraid to be separated from people. We are afraid to feel powerless to do anything in our situation. We are definitely afraid of being judged by other people, being falsely accused of something. And I had that happen to me recently, and it's a real test of defenseless and standing. When you know you've done nothing wrong, you stand in that center and you don't defend yourself. We are afraid of being misunderstood. We're afraid of being considered stupid, and we're afraid of being considered unattractive. These are just some. There's so many. But what we do is we start putting on masks that maybe we've put there since we were very young, and those masks are blocking us now at the age of 25, at the age of 38, at the age of 53 in my case, or at you're a little older than me, Bob, but at any age, from really saying, who would I be? Who would I be if I did not have that thought that people would judge me if I were to speak freely about the kind of work? What would I be saying to my partner that I'm afraid to say because I'm afraid of the consequences of that? What might I do differently if I were not afraid to leave my job and go take on that new career that I have always wanted with all the talents that I have in my bones? What if I weren't afraid that all my money would disappear? And so I want you to start to pay attention and work with those thoughts that come up when you become afraid, and don't buy into them. Don't buy into them. You can observe them. And if you do buy into them, that's okay. Next time they come up, go, there it is again, I'm afraid. Or there it is again, I'm feeling rejected. Whatever it is, it's fear. Don't buy into it. Do your best. It's going to take practice, folks. This is the next frontier. We're out of the physical trainer. We're into the emotional mastery trainer. Who would tell us that regardless of the hurricane that's going on around us at any time, anything, in the public domain or in our personal lives, that we have the ability to stay centered? And that only happens as we start to conquer or transmute, maybe that's a better word, the aspects of ourselves that are untrue, these untrue thoughts we have about ourselves that really need to be weeded out. There is nothing wrong. You have everything you need to accomplish everything you need, but for our inability, as Bob said, to believe in the outcome and believe it could happen for us. But why not you? It's happening for other people out there. It'll happen for me. Come see where I am a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. And I do get afraid, but I know that you, the people that are listening, have much more potential. It doesn't have to be radical to make those five pillars of your life balanced and happy. And it's something that can happen immediately by just catching the thoughts that are wrong thoughts and maybe doing something differently, like speaking up. Okay, Bob, you're how much time do we have, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes. So,
you know, this reminds me of something that happened a couple of days ago. Driving through a portion of Greenwich where the traffic was tight, and it was a two-lane road, businesses on either side,
mm-hmm.
cars parked on either side,
uh-huh.
and all of a sudden here's a guy who has come out, walked into the middle of the road, who's trying to walk across, and he stopped because I'm there, and he hadn't seen me, and I hadn't seen him because he was between cars. As I pull up next to him, he yells at me to slow down. And then another young woman jumps out and runs in front of me, doing the same thing as him. neither one of them were crossing where there was a crosswalk. And, I look at that situation, I think, I had no reason to be at all bothered by this because I know I was driving slowly, first of all, and in the right, because they shouldn't have been trying to cross the road there.
I call them
the zombies. And he yelled at me, probably out of his own fear.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me a while to finally just come to that conclusion and not feel that I needed to attack him or to be angry at him for having upset my day as much as he did. I made that out of that situation. It was – he had an issue that was completely his own making and made an effort to make it mine. All he did was yell at me. So what?
It's amazing what can trigger us. And even sometimes when we think we have dealt with that issue, if we haven't, it'll come back around because we have a way and life has a way of attracting the same situation to see, did you really master it? Did you really master it? But first of all, those people, I wanted to talk to them. They're I call them the zombies. They got on speakers and they're staring into their phone and they're just walking all over the place like they're off in their own world.
Yeah.
And they are going to get hit. So I have a lot of compassion for you with that one because it's – folks, you can't walk around with speakers in your ears and walk in the middle of the street. But – at the end of the day, if you're constantly upset with your spouse, if you're constant – or your ex-spouse for that matter, if you're constantly upset with your boss, if you're upset with yourself, you are only hurting yourself. You're wasting your time. We only get an allocation of time on this planet. We might as well make it fun and meaningful. So I know that's idealistic, and I am idealistic, but I'm also very practical. I mean, an accountant's very practical, so and it doesn't take too long to change these fears. Some of them are deep, deep-seated, but this is the time we are going through the shift where we are learning it is our responsibility to master our own emotions and go around, even to turn it around, and once we have some mastery over it, to go out and be a positive human being on the freaking planet, you know? So you want to make a decision. You want to start to pay attention and build up your intuition. And lastly, and I'll talk about this another time, then you need to be able to take action. It's not really that linear. It all happens. You take action. Take action whenever you want to take action. But I call it the hustle and flow. Hustle and flow means you take action when you're guided to take action. But when you don't have the energy, you don't have to push yourself so hard. It means it's not the right time. So I hope this was meaningful for you. I am giving a course that's called the Goal Accelerator Course, which is going to be online, so it'll be a teleconference. That starts Tuesday, October 15th, and it's you could check it out. My landing page is almost up. You can call me at noreen@defyandhustle.com or just look at my website, defyandhustle.com. We're having a little technical issue, so the landing page isn't up, but it will be October 15th. I'm happy to see if it's right for you. And folks, just get started. Get started. If there's something you want, I'm telling you this will help you no matter what's going on in your life. And if it doesn't, you could have all your money back. Jill Oberlander is going to be on the show. She's running for First Selectman.
Out of time. Good night.
Oh, good night. She'll be on the show October 30th.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Special report, whistleblower complaint release. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says he found the whistleblower allegations to be both disturbing and credible that led to an impeachment inquiry being opened against President Trump.
I can understand why the Inspector General found them credible, even without the benefit yet of the Inspector General's full analysis.
Trump said there was no quid pro quo in the July phone call with Ukraine's president on his political rival.